ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Turon Davenport to the program, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, joins myself and Paul Kuharski on the program. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
So we've got to start with the problem that you've got in terrible sound by me. We've got to start with the problem that you've got going on in Flushing. Soto is not playing well for your Mets. They drop him in the batting order, and seemingly in protest, he takes three pitches. He declines to swing the bat. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Three strikes, and he walks back to the dugout. This looks to me like a big clubhouse problem brewing and a big issue for your club. Your comments.
Yeah, you know, and I actually have to say that also is coming off the watching the ball hit the Green Monster. That should have been a double, and it ended up being a single. So, hey, I it's funny because, you know, yesterday when you were kind of ribbing me about Soto, when I was driving home, I said, man, please don't let this be another Jason Bay situation. You know what I mean? So, look, I can't even come back with anything. It's just like, you know.
15 years. I mean, it'll resolve itself in 15 years. I'll call you from my retirement home.
I'm still going to see them on Monday against the White Sox.
Oh, nice.
Still going to see them.
Well, that's a good game to pick.
So you should be in good shape.
I guess the White Sox are they're not the Rockies, at least.
No.
But,
pretty close.
It was strategically selected.
Attaboy.
One of the things that has come up here in this OTA game playing, point scoring thing is communication. Titans did not do the greatest job of communicating last year. They've emphasized that they want to be super communicative. What do you think they can do to do a better job of avoiding the kind of maybe alignment or other kind of things that score as mental errors? And how can they address some of those things now? I think the one thing that the people who are complaining about what they're doing now are not giving them credit for is the idea that they can somehow address some of these things at a stage of OTAs where they're really not allowed to do much.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And here's the thing, right? Communication is something that you could track, right? And I think that's a positive. Although they're not like going 7-on-7 or team period or anything like that, they're still working in group. And so there is an opportunity there. And to me, one of the big things to me that is good about this program is it's encouraging competition, but in the midst of encouraging competition, you're also emphasizing particular things. And, you know, whenever you emphasize something, typically that alters the results. So from what I understand, they're emphasizing the communication and making sure that, you know, when they're lined up, you know, the safety is talking to the corner, the right tackle is talking to the right guard, so on and so forth. And those are the things that need to happen.
TD, Brian Callahan brought up Tony Pollard and the running back situation for the Titans and said, you know, in a perfect world, he'd probably like to see it a little bit more split this year. My question for you is, do you think the Titans are equipped to do that? Do the Titans have the running back room in place to maybe even out the carries a little bit more and take some away from Tony Pollard this year?
Yeah, I think they do. And I like Tajay Spears in that type of situation because he's the guy that doesn't need a lot of carries to do some damage. And you could also mix in touches by way of throwing the football. So, and that obviously will help Cam Ward, you know, a short throw, let Tajay catch it and do what he does with it, you know. And that's something that will probably be showcased more. And obviously, you know, running backs that catch the football and they turn up field, sometimes it could be turnovers. And, you know, it seems like that's something that they're tracking, like how many times that happens, and that's yet another thing that you can emphasize. So, yeah, I think they have the backfield for it. And, you know, Khalil Mullins, he's another guy that could come in. And I mean, like, he's one cut, get upfield. He runs behind his pads. You can have him in your short yardage situation. And I think the mix of those guys could be – it could be adequate.
Titans have – I think we've talked to eight veterans now. Jeffrey Simmons, not one of them. I don't know that I'd expect them to bring him out, and now he's got a little bit of controversy in his personal life. But obviously, been a tough couple of years for him in terms of dealing with the losing. He's had injuries that have affected his play. Curious if you have a sense of his state of mind coming out of all of that. And with all the change that's gone on around him.
Yeah, no, I think when you look at Jeff and what he's going through, he's using his motivation, right? And using football as kind of like a release, the workouts and things that he's doing. I did talk to him briefly, and he seemed like he was, you know, pretty motivated and wants to get some things going. But the results have to come. You know, like, you could be as motivated as you want, but the results have to come. You see, he set a goal, double-digit sack, you know, at a minimum. So, I mean, that part is there. We just got to see how the plan that he has in place falls into order. You know, he worked out a lot this offseason in Dallas. You know, then he has his brother, Dylan Bradley, who has, you know, worked out with him too.
I do think these chances that they're creating for more emerging leadership can help him, because too much has fallen on him, and he's tried to take it on, but it's not necessarily, you know, an interior defensive lineman, maybe just the nature of the position. It's a little bit much to ask, and a lot of losing. He's facing a lot of tough questions over and over. It'd be nice for some of that to be spread out and for more guys to be equipped to take on all different avenues of leadership. That'll help him if it pans out.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you said that, I thought back to, you know, the 14 times we were in the locker room, and the look on his face when, you know, he had to turn around and we're all standing there ready to jump on him with questions. Like, you could tell he was like, what the heck, man? You know, so you're right there.
TD, we've talked a lot about Derrick Henry throughout the show today. You know, he's approximately 7,000 yards away from Emmitt Smith's all-time lead. It's going to be, I mean, it's very, very difficult to get there. I guess you can never say never with Derrick Henry. But the larger question, I mean, he's 31 years old. He's coming off a year where he just ran for 1,900 yards. How long can he do this? How long can he play at this level in your mind?
Well, you know what I've always said about Derrick Henry? We're borrowing him. Like, he's visiting from Mars, so I don't place any limitations on him. That guy is just different, and he trains differently. He's built different. Everything is different about him. So, you know, he got this deal. He's behind that pretty solid offensive line, and then you got a quarterback that, you know, takes the linebacker out of the play a lot of times when he executes a play fake and rolls out, you know. So there's – it's all good for him. I don't know about 7,000 more yards, but, like, I think PK is going to have a pretty good argument, you know, for Derrick Henry when he makes the presentation.
They busted out some pretty good guaranteed money for Jamari Harris and Jalen Kimber, two of the undrafted rookie corners. Not pennies either for Davion Ross and Clarence Lewis. I mean, Snead, Brownlee, McCreary, Baker, Marcus Harris is no guarantee, but there's five for you. They really clearly want to ensure they've got competitive depth and good practice squad players. What do you make of the emphasis on corner depth there beyond maybe concerns about Snead?
Yeah, it's interesting that they're doing that. Obviously, you know, Snead and Brownlee are set to be the starters, but I do look at that and wonder, because that was the one position I felt like was secure. But we don't know the extent of that quad, like where exactly where Snead is going to be come training camp and then into the regular season. So I think what they did was they got the depth there. I don't know about the quality because, you know, these guys still have to prove themselves. But it is intriguing that they stacked up at a position that I honestly thought was good to go.
Well, TD, we really appreciate you as always, my man. Hope you have a great weekend this weekend. Good luck to your Mets, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And, oh, by the way, I did the TD Power Hour yesterday at Nashville Sounds. And, PK, well, your Yankees, the Scranton-Wilkesboro team,
oh yeah,
they have two former Mets, Cookie Carrasco and Dominic Smith on the team.
Yeah, Dominic Smith, I think, did some things for them and is intriguing. But, you know, we're doing okay up at the major league level. Hey, what was it like to sit down with Tom Brady yesterday?
You know what? I'm so mad I forgot to mention that. No, but
you've got time.
I was in the presence of greatness. You know, it reminded me of joint practices in Tampa. I don't stargaze much, but, you know, I was sitting next to Jared Brady Stillman, and yeah, man, it made my day.
Oh, good stuff.
Good for
good
you.
Stuff. Thank you, TD.
Enjoy
appreciate
it.
You,
have
man.
A good trip.
All right. Take it easy.
Teron Davenport joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. A couple of interesting points from TD there that I want to get to with PK coming up next. We'll do that. We got weekend winners coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Tune in to Totally Hits 93.3 tomorrow as the Cats take on the Oregon Lightning. Pregame starts at 4:30, kickoff at 5 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits 93.3 app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz. Is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you. We have weekend winners coming up here in about 10 minutes here on the program. Appreciate TD for being with us in the last segment. So, PK, I'm going to throw the same question to you I threw at PK or at TD. You know, Brian Callahan talked about Tony Pollard earlier this week and how probably in a perfect world they want to split things up a little bit more than they did last year from the running back standpoint. Now, you know, part of last year was Tajay Spears was dealing with some injuries throughout the year, so the production really wasn't there from him for the most part. But I have questions, PK, about how equipped they actually are to do that with their running back room. I'm not a huge Tajay Spears guy. Like, I think he's okay. I don't know that he is a guy that I want on the field all that much. That's just me. Maybe you disagree with that. But how do you view their running back room and how equipped they are to actually do that and split things up a little bit more than they did last year with Pollard?
I am not a Spears guy either. I like him catching balls in space, but I don't really like him taking handoffs. I was not that concerned about this position. I didn't realize. I know Pollard got dinged. But this is from James Foster, who last week at paulkuharski.com wrote James Foster's honest take. Where do the Titans actually stack up in the NFL? This is on May 15th. And regarding running backs, he wrote of Pollard, in weeks 1 to 9, he averaged 4.38 yards and 3.79 yards after contact per attempt. In weeks 10 to 18, those numbers dropped to 3.87 and 2.93. So average yards, 4.38 to 3.87. After contact, 3.79 to 2.93. Those are significant drops.
Yep.
That didn't look good. Now, I know it coincides with the ankle and some trouble. I tend to be like use a guy up and don't worry season to season. But you can't use Tony Pollard up in September if he can't give you anything in November.
Right.
And so they need to find a way. I really like the idea of Mullings. I think Mullings should chip into Spears carries and touches. I like more two different kind of backs than two same kind of backs, and Pollard and Spears are similar kind of backs. So my hope there is that Mullings emerges and is able to do a little bit of what they're talking about, as opposed to Spears.
Yep.
And I feel like they're kind of out on Spears.
When they we talked about this through the draft process, they were spending a lot of time looking at running back. Now, they ultimately took Mullings in the sixth round, so it's not like they invested a high pick on him. But they spent a lot of time looking at running back, and I'm interested to see what that's going to mean for Spears. Like, the numbers you bring up with Pollard are concerning, so like you'd like to have another option. Like, Mullings last year in Michigan, first off, he was there for 5 years. Last year was the first time he got significant playing time. So he had 185 carries last year, 948 yards, 12 touchdowns, 5-1 in attempts.
He was a linebacker
and
before
Yeah, exactly. So he's been a position switch. He played running back for 2 years at Michigan. But can he be a guy that gives you – that maybe he's the second guy who gets the carries? And Spears, at that point, is more of a third down situational passing guy. But then the question becomes, PK, like, if that's all you want Spears to be, what sort of value is that with your team? I don't know.
Not,
I'm just throwing it out there.
It's a very niche-y role. I mean, I don't – you know, Callahan says, yeah, there's room for three backs. Room, yeah, but like you're saying, the third guy is going to have a very minimal role. And they clearly wanted a bigger back who could do, seems to me, short yardage and goal line.
Yep.
Between the tackles kind of stuff. They've got a rebuilt right side of the line now that seems like it'd be a should be a heck of a run blocking side with Zeitler and Latham. For Mullings, particularly in short yardage situations, maybe to go behind. But dividing carries three ways seems to me to really not lend itself for people to get in any kind of sustained rhythm.
Yep.
And I'm a believer in sustained rhythm. You know, and I think they will go with Hot Hand. I think we'll see plenty of Pollard when Pollard gets going. I think where you could really save Pollard is if you're getting blown out, which I think there'll still be some situations where that's happening. If you happen to pull away, you know, maybe last series of a half, if you know, if you're not in great position to go down and score, or last series of a game, you know, if you're not in the position you want to be, and stuff like that. I hope they can make it work. I'm not wild about trying to, you know, say, hey, if we've got 25 carries here, let's make sure the distribution is good.
Yeah, like we all realize not everybody's Derrick Henry. Like, we've talked a lot about Derrick Henry today. Tony Pollard's not Derrick Henry, so I realize you can't just – if you give him the ball 27 times a game, it's probably not going to end well for him at the end of it, and he's probably not going to have a whole lot left. I get that. But I'm less worried about divvying things up equally. Like, to me, Tony Pollard, I'm looking at the rest of their offense right now. I mean, he's what? Maybe your second-best offensive player? And, you know, outside of what we don't know about the quarterback yet. You know, Ridley, I feel decent about at receiver.
Yeah, Pollard may be your
Pollard's
best.
Probably like your best or second best offensive player. So I need him on the field.
Yeah. I mean, I would hate to see something like, you know, Pollard just is fine the first two series and all of a sudden Spears is out there in the third series with an intentional, like, we're reducing Pollard or managing Pollard. I hate stuff like that. And I don't think they're thinking along those lines. I hope we don't see anything like that.
Matt from Camden says, crazy how they want a bigger back when they literally let Derrick Henry walk out the door last year. Says Henry would still be here if the Titans would have prioritized him.
This let is a predominant thing. Like, they let him leave. Like, they – he had – a free agent has all the power in what he does. Now, I mean, clearly they could have made a bigger effort to keep him, but ultimately the lever has the power in going or staying.
Like, especially when it got to that point. Now, maybe before that last season, could they have made a stronger effort to get him signed? Maybe. Like, maybe that's where it's different. But, like, once that season played out, like, I don't know about you, before he even got on the microphone at the end of the game, he was gone. Like,
they were trying to trade him, were they not?
Yeah, I mean, he was gone. But by the time that season went. So you can make the
about
argument.
Trading him. It's a team in flux. And part of being a team in flux is that, you know, your star players aren't necessarily dying to be in the middle of a team in flux.
Right. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Weekend winners coming up next. We got a busy weekend coming up in the world of sports. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time to pick some winners. We hope. Robbie and Rex Rowe have weekend winners for you. Now
on ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. Time for weekend winners here on the program. Busy weekend coming up. A standings update in the competition. Rex Rowe, his White Sox bets paid off last week, Ian.
Yeah, he
got all
some,
three of them.
Gained some ground.
Which means overall he went 4-2 with his lock, leading the way. You and I at 3-3 last week. I did not get my lock. You did. Which brings the overall standings. Rex Rowe in first place, 40-32 overall, 8-4 on his locks, 48 points. I'm 38-34, 8-4 on my locks, 46 points, so two back of Rex Rowe. Ian also 38-34 after taking over for Keezer, 6-6 on his locks, 44 points. Still a very tight competition as we enter into Memorial Day weekend, coming up in weekend winners.
I shall sit in judgment.
Kuharski's going to sit in judgment. Kuharski's been running some numbers on a team that I guarantee is going to come up in this.
Okay.
We'll get to that a little bit later in this segment as well. We begin with the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars in game number two coming up tonight. The Stars take game one. They were trailing 3-1. They get basically a power play fest in the third period, and they end up winning game one at home. So game two coming up tonight in Dallas. Ian, let's start with you. Who we got between the Stars and the Oilers in game two?
I have a feeling this is going to be a long series, so give me Edmonton to even her up.
Going with Edmonton in game two. Joseph Rexrode sent in his picks, what, 3 days ago? 4 days ago in this competition?
Might have been Monday.
He was getting ahead of things.
He has got the Oilers as well in this game. And I hate to make it boring, but Ian, I'm kind of with you. Like, I think this series is going 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really see the Stars going up 2-0. I'll go Edmonton, McDavid and Draisaitl specifically, a big response.
Did you see the glance that they shared?
I saw the glance they shared.
At the end.
Could be a bad night for Dallas tonight. We'll see. So an Edmonton sweep in game two. PK, your thoughts on Edmonton and Dallas?
McDavid, have we all seen that little tirade?
We've seen it.
Not good enough?
Yep.
Teammates didn't seem to really be reacting before they closed the curtain.
I know it.
That gave me a little concern.
I know it. The Pacers and the Knicks coming up in game two tonight. The Knicks, after blowing game one, a 6-point favorite in this one. I'm going with the Knicks in this one. I am confident that the New York Knicks respond. They even this bad boy up at one. They're going to win by double digits tonight, Ian. Ian, your take on the Knicks and the Pacers, which you are terrified of, coming up in game two tonight.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, like, against Boston, I felt better about a rebound game given how they had played in the losses and the whole situation around it. This one, not so much. They played well. They played hard. They still lost on a buzzer beater. Well, I guess they didn't lose on the buzzer beater, but 6 points. I'm going to take Indy to cover. Give me Indianapolis plus 6.
Going
the Pacers.
Indy plus 6. Yeah. Rex Rowe also going Indy plus the 6. PK, your confidence level in your beloved Knicks tonight.
I would go Indy plus the 6, but the Knicks are going to win.
I think they're going to win by a lot. I think they exercise some demons tonight. They blow out Indiana.
Wow.
This thing
okay.
Up at 1,
that would be nice.
Heading back to game 3. We move to the individual portion of the program. I'll go first. Florida and Carolina coming up in game 3. It's going back to Florida. Look, Carolina, I think if Carolina plays their game, they can still make this a series. I don't think Florida's going to let them get there. Like, I don't think Florida's going to let them get to their game. And they all started kind of running around a little bit last night, and there's some massive hits in that game. We'll see who's injured and who's available.
Yeah, who was it? Reinhart?
Game through. Reinhart got smoked in that game.
He left.
Jarvis got smoked in that game for Carolina. So it's some is a big
Walker,
time physicality.
I think
last
they said
night.
Sean Walker got hit too. Yeah,
last night it was a very physical game. Give me Florida in game three to take the 3-0 series lead. I just think when they've got a team on the ropes, they just choke the life out of them. So give me Florida in game three. Ian, your first individual selection.
I'll stick with this game. I'm going to go Oppo, actually, though. I'm going to take Carolina to get back in the series. I don't know, maybe a little Florida let down like they had in game six versus Toronto. When they, you know, they go home after you blow them out, you kind of expect them to roll. So I'll go Carolina to maybe squeeze one out here.
Joseph Rexroad going with the Oklahoma City Thunder, the next dynasty in the NBA, minus three on the road against Minnesota in game three. So Joe Rexroad going with the Thunder to take a 3-0 series lead in that one. I'll just go ahead and spoil the rest of Rex Rhodes' picks because he's doing the same thing he did last week.
Yeah, yes.
The Chicago White Sox are taking on the Rangers this weekend. Rex Rhodes is locking down on the Rangers -1.5 tonight, and he's taking the Rangers -1.5 in each of the three games this weekend. Joe has a deep-seated hatred of the Chicago White Sox. BK.
I would start doing that with the Rockies.
Oh, I have been. Not the whole weekend because – I think Joe's a little soft doing it the whole weekend, but I'm doing at least one of them. Matter of fact, I'll start there. The Rockies taking on your beloved New York Yankees this weekend. I looked, Ian, to see if the line had moved to at least 2.5.
I mean, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, it still says.
It's still 1.5.
1.5.
So give me the Yankees. I'll do Friday's game. I'll do tonight. Give me the Yankees -1.5 against the Rockies. Make it my lock. PK, as you pointed out, the Rockies 8-42 through 50 games. It's worst, unbelievable.
Worst 50 game start you've ever seen.
Yeah. Unbelievable how inept that they've been. Ian, your second individual selection.
Okay, I will also go to the basketball game, OKC versus Minnesota. I think I'm going to take actually the T-Wolves in this one. I'm not really sure why, but
home court.
Yeah. I got 3.5, but I'll take 3, whatever.
There you go.
So Minnesota +3.
Minnesota +3 against Oklahoma City coming up in game number two. Ian, kick us off with your third individual selection.
Okay, I will stick with baseball, but I will go that game I have considered Yankees-Rockies. We'll see if I go with that last. But I'm going to lock tonight Dodgers 1.5 versus the Mets. The you know, mid-season meltdown for the Mets is probably underway.
Will Soto swing?
That's another – should be a prop bet for the game tonight. Will Juan Soto swing the bat at any point?
So, you know, the drama in the Mets, it's always something with these guys.
Ian going Dodgers -1.5 against the Mets. Give me Edmonton against Dallas in game three at home to win. So I'm going Oilers winning 2 in a row.
Okay, you're going. Series. You're just going for it.
I think Ekholm will be back in game three, and I think that'll make a difference for them on D. So give me Edmonton in game three against Dallas to take a 2-1 series lead at that point. I'll go ahead and kick us off with the last one. Florida against Carolina in game four, they complete the sweep. Florida's sweep.
Oh, you're going
Carolina.
Sweep, huh?
So they're going sweep. I mean, Florida against Carolina in game four. I'm doubling down on the Panthers. Ian, your final.
All right. I'll go with the cheapie and take the Yankees.
Going for tonight's game?
Tonight, yep, versus the Rockies, yeah.
Going Yankees -1.5 against the Rockies. Now, PK? A lot of pressure on your Yanks here. If they let us down against the Rockies, I'm coming after you.
I have to say, I mean, you got to be impressed with what the Yankees have been doing. They score a bleep ton of runs most nights, and then yesterday they win 1-0.
Hey, they don't ask how.
They're finding ways. They're 11 games over. They're chipping away.
Just no letdown versus the Rockies. There's no mental letdown here tonight.
My standard is 20 games over, you know. So, you know, it's early to be 20 games over, but once you get 20 games over, you're good, and they'll be there soon. They're a much better team than I thought. They wanted to get better defensively. They did. And to be doing what they're doing without Gerrit Cole, you know, I think they take care of business against somebody like Colorado.
Would you say it's too early to be 34 games under .500?
I would say it's far, far too early. I think it's like two times too early to be 34 under.
Unbelievable. You can get in the building tonight in Colorado, by the way, for $42. That's higher than I thought. I guess it's because of the Yankees. I would think it would be.
For whoever's next on the schedule, you could get in for $4.20. I would think. The get-in price in Colorado, generally speaking.
I mean, their next series at home is going to be against the Mets, so a lot of New York teams. Like, let's do this. Let's say June 20th, Diamondbacks, Rockies.
Yeah.
That's got some potential.
Well, this could be the next test for the Mets and where they really are. If they play the Rockies next series and they lose a couple of those games, well, they maybe are they a little bit of a situation there.
Maybe so.
15 years.
15. It's pretty bad. 615-737-1025, our phone number. One more segment with PK coming up next. We'll rapid fire some of your questions on the text line heading into the weekend. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. PK, questions on the text line to get to real quick.
Let's hit it.
Kyle in Shelbyville asking about Bryce Oliver. Will he have a bigger impact than the two fourth-round rookie wide receivers in your mind?
Don't know. You have to hope not. You want them to live up. You know, fourth-rounders are not guys that are going to come in generally and go crazy. But he's an undrafted from a year ago. Who should outrank whom there? If you're putting together a pecking order,
yep.
DK and Io Manor should outrank Bryce Oliver, and you would root for them too if you want things to pan out according to how they probably have things on their board.
I would agree. I would also say that like if Bryce Oliver can step in and you feel good about him being like a number five guy for you, that's great. Like
yes.
that to me is a good scenario for Bryce Oliver. But I mean, that kind of shows you where the receiver room was over the offseason of how much time we spent talking about Bryce Oliver around here.
Look, I would think somebody out of this group is going to tank.
I would agree.
Right? Could be Jefferson. Could be one of the fourth rounders. Could be Bryce. I keep putting Burks higher on the depth chart, just kind of out of things. I think Burks has a very, very difficult time making it.
Going back to the Derrick Henry discussion we had, got a texter that talks about the era that Henry plays in and whether or not that works to or against his advantage in terms of him being really, as you pointed out earlier, kind of the back of his generation. They don't really have backs like him anymore. I would agree where Saquon, especially if he continues to play like he did last year in Philadelphia, is going to be in that conversation as his career moves on in terms of Hall of Fame running backs and some of the numbers that he might put up. But we've had a couple different questions on this, so I'll combine them all into one. What do you make of the era, how that affects the Derrick Henry conversation?
For Hall of Fame?
For Hall of Fame.
Yeah, also, I think it's big. He's a singular guy in kind of historically, but absolutely in
yes.
his era. In a time of diminished running backs, he was a meaningful distinctive, very singular running back. That is a big part of his case.
We've also had it asked the other way of, does the fact that defenses are not really geared to really stop the running back anymore, does that work against him in that conversation?
I don't think so. I mean, you're not geared to stop the running back, but nobody wants to give up rushing yards. I mean, stop the run is the first item on every defensive game plan. And Derrick Henry dictated that you bring somebody extra into the box every game.
I got somebody, Ben wondering if you have any recommendations for Memorial Day activities. Doesn't seem like people celebrate it much anymore except as a day off of work.
You know what? This city tends to empty out this weekend.
I agree.
And it's kind of dead. We've got family friends who have a phenomenal event, a kickball get-together at a local park. So everybody brings food. And the kids play kickball on one field, and the adults and older kids play kickball on another field, and it's an absolute blast.
I mean, you brought up the weather.
Yeah,
this
so
weekend.
There may be no kickball. It may be peeling into
somebody's
house.
It could be storming,
house.
But even like the, you know, it's nice. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with mid-70s, but, I mean, there have been Memorial Days in the past where you're talking like 91
degrees.
Oh,
it's hot. Yeah.
It's like the unofficial launch of summer. I was walking around yesterday. I was like, huh, feels good out here. It's like 72, yeah.
We just got invited to Friends tonight where I'm sure my buddy will, who's a Celtics fan, but I'm sure he'll engage in the Knicks and we'll sit outside and have a jolly good time.
Are you or are you not turning the Knicks game on before 7 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter
tonight? Oh, well, he'll have it on. So, okay. But, I mean, how intently we pay attention to it, you know, depends on how close it is and
you may not have
and
to.
What else is going on.
If it goes the way I think it's going to go, could be over by the time. Although, I guess, given the way last game went, nothing's really over in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, especially with these two teams. These are two big comeback teams. You know, and this could be prove to be a better series than the finals. I'm not buying OKC as like it's a little early for me to crown them.
I would agree. I think they're the best team, but again,
best team does not always
mean
they might have the best player too.
I think they have the best player.
So SGA, I mean, yeah. He is like
he's unbelievable.
He's on a crazy.
It's pretty
roll right
interesting
now.
In that for a peripheral like observer like me, I don't know him at all.
I mean, I would also wonder like how much of that has to do with the fact that he plays in Oklahoma.
Right. Yeah, we had OKC versus Indiana.
Right.
So let's go, Middle America.
But who's the last unknown MVP in the NBA? You know, and that's on me. You know, I mean, it's not his fault I don't know him.
Right.
That's my fault I don't know him.
Around
but
here,
I don't
remember
know
him more from Kentucky.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's gonna be interesting to see it this weekend.
But I don't know him, and I don't care about him. Like, unless he's playing the Knicks in the finals, then right. I'll get to know him. Otherwise,
sure.
But he's pretty good, I'll watch the last 7 minutes of finals games, and that's the degree to which I'll get to know him.
PK, it's been a great 3 days.
Yeah,
thanks
I really enjoy it. Thanks to Chase. Thanks to you. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to Ian. And I wish everybody out there a great Memorial Day weekend. During it, don't block the box and be sure to lock your locks.
That does it for us. We'll be back on Tuesday morning. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.